Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. Welcome, welcome, welcome to today's show. I am your tour guide into discoveries, Rebecca Jernigan. My fabulous guest today is Linda Drake, and she is here to talk to us about reaching through the veil to heal. A little bit more on her in just a moment. Hop on over to the website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and check out the latest Journeys news as well as the unconventional news that we have there. Couple quick thanks to our sponsors, which is Fate Magazine and also Sandy Andrew. You can reach Fate at www.fatemag.com. Please check them out. Wonderful people. The other sponsor is Sandy Andrew. And his is the Never Ending Life series. So check out that. There's a link on my website that will take you right to that book. So check it out. You know, this is the time of the year where we are all giving gifts of giving. And this lady that I have here coming on, Linda Drake, is going to give us some wonderful gifts. Now, these gifts are called Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, which is the name of her book. In here, she talks about death, grief, and communicating with loved ones in spirit. It's a fabulous book. It's a fabulous information for anyone who has lost somebody or who would just like to learn how to communicate with those that maybe have passed on, whether it be a friend or a relative. So again, her name is Linda Drake, and her book is available through Llewellyn Publications. Again, you can click on the link on the front page and it will take you right there. Now, you guys are not going to want to miss a thing. Do not go away, and we're going to be right back with more of Journeys with Rebecca. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journey will take you.
You can't judge a psychic on TV because of producer-induced theatrics and clever editing. But now you can analyze famous psychics including Derek Acora, Peter James, Linda McKenzie, and Dana Smoller in the new DVDs ISPR Investigates the Comedy Store and ISPR Investigates Crest Hill Mansion. It's all raw and uncensored footage from 1999, showcasing how psychics really communicate with earthbound entities in the field. The new ISPR DVDs are available at journeyswithrebecca.com. It makes the perfect gift for the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. And as promised, I have Linda Drake here, who has written the book called Reaching Through the Veil to Heal. I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you very much, Linda, for showing up on here today. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, I got your book and I was looking at it, and of course the title is Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, but there's also like a little subtitle that says Death, Grief, and Communicating with Loved Ones in Spirit. I think it's real important, this information, this book that you have out, is to let people know that death really is not the final step. I mean, as many of us are aware, we recognize that. But for some reason, we still don't have that knowing or that belief that, yes, you know, we do go on. We are eternal spirits. So I really commend you on writing this particular book. And I commend you on how you've done this and talking about how to communicate with those on the other side of the veil for that healing process. So it's very cool.
Well, thank you. Spirit just felt like it was so important to get this message out there to people. because death is such an important part of our life. It's going to happen. You know, the moment we're born, we begin our journey towards our death. And all of the interaction in between is what makes letting go of a loved one is so difficult.
You know, and I think that's true, but I think I'd like to expound on that, too. What's important is how we live our life from the time that we're, you know, incarnated as babies until the time we decide to let go of this existence. So it's about how we live our life. And, you know, you start right out here in Chapter 1 calling our life purpose. So tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
We all come in with a life purpose. We weren't just, you know, dropped down here by God and said, go for it. We all came in, we sat down with God and agreed before we came into this lifetime what we wanted to accomplish and who we wanted to accomplish this with. And so we all have a purpose. We have a soul purpose and we have a human ego purpose of what we want to accomplish. So there is definitely a plan in effect here. As we go through our life, and we make the choices as we go along on, you know, what we want to experience with our issues.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You talked about soul purpose and then human ego purpose. Mm-hmm. For the listeners out there, what would be the difference between the two?
Well, the human ego purpose is the issues that you came in to work with, the issues that Spirit has taught me about is, I am a life path healer, so I work with people every day, helping them with the challenges of their life, helping them understand the challenges of their life, moving through it, and healing the blockages in their life. So I have a lot of experience in channeling Spirit's knowledge and energy for people in this way. And the issues that I've been told about from Spirit is trust, abandonment, abuse, judgment, control, responsibility, and love. Those are some of the main issues that we come in to work with in this lifetime. Sometimes we choose one or two of those issues, and sometimes we choose all seven of them. And
wow.
That makes for an interesting life.
Yeah, I would imagine the seven really got your plate pretty full.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, just out of curiosity, would there be a point as to why someone would choose to have, say, seven as opposed to one or two?
If they're really ambitious and they're wanting to work through all of these issues and get to the point where they don't have to keep coming back into these lifetimes. We come back into multiple lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes, as we work our way through all of these issues so that we no longer have to deal with the challenges of them.
Well, now here's a question. This might be kind of hard. I don't mean to put you on the spot here. But let's say that in a lifetime I decided that I was going to come in as an infant and maybe I only lived two or three days and I left.
Mm-hmm.
Would the purpose have actually been for me or would have been maybe for the others?
It would have been for those around you and you because you would have experienced the abandonment of losing the loved one, the people that loved you. But mostly it's about the people's lives that you touched, how they deal with that abandonment, that loss, that trusting that this child is going to be there for you, trusting that that your needs are going to be met in that way by this child, by this spirit. No life is wasted, whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's 100 years. No life is wasted. It always has a purpose.
Well, and I used to say, and I still say, Linda, is that when someone in our lives pass, when they leave this earthly existence, that they've actually given us the gift of life.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that's just, you know, I've experienced many family members and some friends who have passed over. And the one thing after I get past the grief process, which we'll talk about that in a minute, but once I realize after I get past the grief process is how blessed I was to have that person in my life, what they taught me, what I learned. And those experiences don't all have to be positive. It's what you come out of those experiences with in regards to that individual.
Exactly, exactly. That individual, before you came into this lifetime, the both of you, your souls agreed to interact, teaching each other lessons. Sometimes, you know, when I explain to people that, you know, every person in your life came into your life by agreement, you agreed with their soul to help them with their lessons as they help you with yours. And so there's so much goes on that we're not even aware of.
Well, and everyone's on their you know, their divine path, and we, that's why they say you're not supposed to have judgment, because you really don't know where a person's at in regards to not only the progress of the soul or the spirit, but what was agreed upon when that person and you, obviously if you're talking about that person, you would know them, agreed to before you got here. And, you know, that was, you know, honestly, Linda, that was probably my hardest lesson, one of my hardest lessons to learn, or information to really, you know, take a hold of, was that I agreed to come into the mess that I came into in my life.
Oh, mine too.
And taking responsibility for it.
Yes.
You know,
so yes.
By saying, okay, I agreed to be here. And once I did that, I don't know how you did it, but once I did that, how liberating was that?
Oh, it's so much easier to blame all of our problems on somebody else.
Always the victim.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But once you take responsibility that you chose these issues, you chose these experiences, and you chose to interact with these people, it gives you so much more power to make changes in your life.
Well, yeah, because if you certainly don't like the way it's going, that gives you the opportunity to go, okay,
mm-hmm.
If I did agree to come in here, then I guess I have to take responsibility for this mess that I'm in and quit being the victim.
Exactly.
It's a really hard cycle to get out of for a lot of people.
Oh, yes. Because being the victim is easy.
Oh, it is. It's always somebody else's fault. I take, you know, they did this, they did that, they said this, I can't do this because of. So, and that's why I think your book has come out at a really good time, because it does teach us that. It teaches us that we did agree to it, and what can we glean from that? I mean, if we came into a life of abuse and abandonment and trust issues and whatever else we came in for, what does that mean for us? You know, I mean, you can really look at it and go, wow, I guess it's about not living like that anymore.
The issues that you chose for your life are going to be your issues for this entire life.
Right.
Now, you have the choice. You can allow your issues to control your life, or you can take control of your issues so that you experience something totally different with them.
So when you're doing your work with your clients, and let's say you have somebody that, you know, had like four of these issues, you know, four of these seven things that they came in with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go through to the point of the agreement with them, or how do you look at that?
We start again. All of my work is channeled, so spirit.
Oh.
I connect with their angels and guides. And I also connect with their inner child. And through all of that, the knowledge from this group, spirit pretty much goes through their life going, okay, this is what you chose. This is how you've been playing it out. These are the patterns that you've established. And what do we want to change? And in doing this, when you start looking at your life, you actually realize that you do have control over how you choose to react.
Well,
you can react in all the same ways you've been doing in the past, or you can by having the awareness that these are my issues and this is how it's been affecting me this long, you have the power to change them.
Well, and I guess that gets back to the point of where some people say, well, this is just my life. They
it
feel
may
like
be
they
your
don't
life.
It's not. That's the point. I think that's what you're saying here is that, you know, just because I agreed to have these experiences doesn't mean that when I end my life here that I have to continue with these experiences.
No, if you've
life.
Learned your lesson, if you have learned the lessons with these issues, then you don't have to experience them again. It's when you have not learned your lessons that you keep coming back in lifetime after lifetime, re-experiencing them.
Yeah, with
and having to heal the karma you've created from the past lifetimes.
there's a bad word.
Yeah.
Well, what do they tell you about karma? What do they say about karma? Just so that the people out there, You know, that's another one of those terms that's thrown around quite a bit, you know, karma this and karma that. What do they tell you that karma is?
Yes, karma is a buzzword that's real popular right now, but karma is real. It is the energy that you choose to create. It can be positive energy or it can be negative energy.
Thank you for that. I try to tell people karma isn't always negative. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. People think, oh, it's always bad karma.
Uh-uh.
No, you have the choice. If you do something good for somebody, something good is going to come back to you. And so you always have to watch very carefully and keep this in your consciousness that, you know, what am I creating with each one of my actions?
Yeah, what's going to be the outcome? Because that's the law of the universe. For every action, there's a reaction.
Oh, yes.
And it doesn't necessarily...
consequences.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I tell people is that just because you've created bad karma with, say, an individual, doesn't mean that the karma that comes back to you is going to come from that individual. Because the universe has an absolutely magnanimous way of creating that, sometimes almost instantaneously.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You don't have to necessarily come back to relive the bad karma. It can happen almost instantaneously. And it doesn't have to necessarily come from the source of which you created the bad karma.
That's true.
And same with the good karma. I mean, you know, let's not just talk about the negative, because obviously there's more to it than just that. Well, you know, we've talked about, you know, a lot of the things of in the here and the now, but let's talk about what happens to an individual when they decide that it's their time to go and they leave this earth plane. Obviously, they leave behind the physical beings that they've interacted with, whether it be friends, coworkers, or family members, children, what have you. So let's maybe we need to work through that. Let's talk about what that means when somebody passes over and what the process is maybe for the person passing over as well as the ones. How do people handle it in their space when that person's physical presence is no longer here?
That's the difficult part, being the one left behind. Being the one that dies, now that's the easy part. But being left behind is so difficult because you are going to go through many different stages of grief. And in our book, we talk about the different stages of grief and how the different personality types work through these different stages of grief. But the most beautiful part is that there is a circle of love that continues forever. So the love that you have for your loved one that has now crossed over, that love continues because they will come back. It can be moments after their spirit has left their body, but they can come right back to interact with you. There is no time on the other side, outside of this dimensional world. There is no time on the other side. So they can go through their transition from being in this physical body to the spirit leaving this physical body and going into the transition of spirit form and come right back to you to give you comfort and to nurture you and love you through the grieving process. Now, sometimes the grieving process will last months, but often it lasts years, and sometimes it lasts to the time that we leave this physical body.
It can be crippling to those.
Definitely, definitely. Sometimes feeling that loneliness and that grief can actually cripple our lives. It's like a roller coaster because every day you're feeling something different. And people think, okay, I've got through a year. I'm coming up on my year anniversary of my loss. You know, I've got it under control. You know, I'm doing much better. Bam, that year anniversary hits you and knocks you to your knees. And it's totally unexpected because by that time, you know, all of the assistance that you had around you, all of the comfort that you had around you, people helping you through it, they've stepped back into their lives and you're standing there all alone. But if you embrace opening your heart and embrace the love that you had for that loved one and understand that they are still there with you, they're still there trying to interact with you. But sometimes our heart, when it's caught up in that grief, is so closed that we can't receive their messages. We can't receive all the signs that they're giving us that they're there with us. But by opening up that heart, our love can flow right out and flow back into us from our loved one.
Well, let's talk about the way that they can communicate. You know, some people feel like that if they don't stand before them as an apparition or something, that the signs aren't there. And I know through reading your book that they can be very subtle. And I think what I'd like for you to do is just spend a moment to maybe give some examples of how those that have passed over can actually try to reach out to communicate to us.
Okay, I'll give a real fun one.
Okay, good.
One of my clients came to me right after her grandmother had passed. And her grandmother was right here. It'd been about 3 weeks since she'd passed, and her grandmother was right here, very excited to communicate with her. And her grandmother told her, she said, I'm going to be around you. Just watch for the signs. Watch for the signs. You'll know it's me. And then she called to tell me that she was going to her grandmother's house to clean out her grandmother's house and divide up all of her things, and that she was real sad about this. And her grandmother again came across and said, watch for me, watch for me, I'll be there, and I'll help you. Well, her and her sisters, she has three sisters, and they were all there going through the house, cleaning and separating things, and all of a sudden this smell of spaghetti sauce came through the house. Well, they're a big Italian family, and her grandmother's spaghetti sauce was quite famous. And so they're all walking through the house trying to figure out who's making spaghetti, and where this smell is coming from. And all of a sudden, it dawned on her, this was her grandmother's message. And she was just burst into laughter and started telling her sisters all about the message that her grandmother had said, that she would be there. Well, that was her grandmother's sign that she was right there with them, and they all had a good laugh, and it made the situation much easier because they weren't in the sadness and grief of it, knowing that Grandma was right there with us.
Well, and that's what makes it kind of neat, is knowing that she's there sharing that, even though she's not physically there. But I can see that joy, and that, you know, that's just like, that's the understanding that, yes, they're not in physical form, but that doesn't mean that they're not here. And
exactly.
that was a marvelous story. I absolutely love that.
Oh, thank you. And that's the thing about the book. You know, the book is full of, our book, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal, is full of knowledge that Spirit has channeled through me and that they use in my sessions. But most importantly, it is full of beautiful stories that my clients have written about their experiences, about their healing process of moving through that grief and finding life beyond the grief.
And you know, there is life, and I think that's one of the things that I'd like to say real quick before we run out of time. A lot of people feel guilty because they're still alive. And I think they need to recognize that once we leave this earth plane, we're in a much better spot than you can imagine. So I think that's part of the process. I'm still here, but they're not. And so they kind of feel guilty maybe about the joy that they might be experiencing without that person. You guys, don't go away. We'll be right back with Linda Drake, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now. 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending, eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series, is available at Barnes & Noble and Borders bookstores and online.
Hello, I'm Paul Newman. Every day, thousands of sick and disabled veterans face real emergencies the government program just can't meet. For more than 80 years, the Disabled American Veterans has been there for them. Across the country, DAV volunteers are working to build better lives for sick and disabled veterans who need assistance. Sometimes they just need a friend. But more volunteers are needed. If you want to help, contact the Disabled American Veterans. Thank you.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca. We're here with Linda Drake, Reaching Through the Veil to Heal Death, Grief, and Communicating with Loved Ones in Spirit. And Linda, you know, in the first segment, you talked about different personalities and how they handle or deal with grief. Can you maybe expound on that a little bit? Because I think as the listeners are out there, they can maybe identify with themselves.
Okay. Grief is very individual. Nobody is going to grieve in the same way, but there are two different personality types, and they grieve very, very differently. There is the logical personality type that they do not deal with emotions. They stay right on the surface. They are the survivalist. They organize things. They get things going. They're in charge. They are in control of the situation. And that's how they get through their grief, is by not going below the surface, not tapping into their emotions, but just staying functional. And so it may take them a long time to really get in touch with their grief and their emotions because they compartmentize it.
That can actually be a problem, can't it?
It definitely can, because those are the ones I get in here about, you know, 10 years after their loss, and they sit down in a chair and go, I don't know what's going on. My life just fell all to pieces. And they're totally unaware that it's their grief, that they're acting out the anger and the pain of their loss, but it just took them a long time to get there. And then, so it takes them a long time to grieve, and they play it out in little bits and pieces as they are able to. Then there is the opposite personality type, which is the emotional personality type. Now, they deal with grief from the moment, they start dealing with grief from the moment they find out they're going to experience the loss. But they're very emotional about it. They have to cry. They have to talk. Because they feel it all. And they feel not just their emotions, but everybody's emotions around them. So they grieve in very, very opposite ways. It's very necessary for them, it's necessary for both types to work through their grief, and often we need to have a support group, a grief support group, or therapy to go through our grief process. The emotional personality type needs somebody to talk to. They need to sit down with their pictures and share all of their emotions with somebody. So that's how you can help that personality type move through their grief, because they have to feel. That's who they are. And often we have a partner that is opposite us, and we don't understand why they're reacting the way they are, because it's totally different than how we're feeling. And so it's hard to understand that we do grieve in different ways.
Well, we talked about the first one, the one that was the logical, and then we talked about the one that was emotional. That, too, has its downfalls. I actually experienced several people through my lifetime that experience that handled the grief very emotionally, and like they just continued it for years.
Yeah.
And so again, there's that issue, you know, of finding a little bit of a balance there, because that person is also hanging on to their grief and the memory of what was, and not living in the now.
That's often because they don't understand the circle of love. They don't understand that their loved one is still there with them, trying to assist them, trying to help them move through this grief. And so they stay on the roller coaster. They stay on that roller coaster of grief that just totally tears their life to shreds. And they just cannot go on and function with their life the way they did in the past, before their loss.
Well, and you know, I'm unfortunately, I just started recalling some personal experiences with other people and kind of got off the track there. But I actually knew somebody that was pretty emotional right in the very beginning, and then it was like they became the logical person halfway through this whole experience. And even to this day, this person still doesn't handle the loss, and it's been 10 years.
Because the emotional person, they can panic over their reaction. They actually panic, and it will cause them to shut down. That's why we need the counseling. That's why we need that therapy to move us on through it, instead of just shutting the door on it and pretending it's not there.
Well, you know, and we're going to kind of move on a little bit, because I think what we need to do is probably take the next step in this process. Is let's talk about, in your book, you talk about preparing for death. Then that sounds kind of morbid, so I think probably you need to let people know what that really means.
Okay. As I said, as I started this out, we are all going to die, and we are all going to experience the loss of somebody we love. And some of us, I won't point fingers at myself, but some of us have control issues.
And oh, so, no, not that.
So we control everything all the way throughout our life. So why would we not control our death? Why would we not control how we leave this life? Now, in the news over the last few years, there's been a lot in the news about the physician's directives, where we decide how we that we protect ourselves and our wishes in how we leave this life. I had a situation with my mother-in-law where we did not understand the importance of a physician's directive until we were in the situation with her preparing to leave. We had taken her to an attorney and had her, and the attorney directed us through filling out these physician's directives and her living will. And she was actually an excellent attorney that gave us great advice, because in filling out the physician's directive, you get to choose whether or not you want to be kept on life support, whether or not you want to be kept alive if you can't be back to a healthy condition. So that's very, very important in making those decisions. Don't leave that up to your family to have to decide whether or not they have to disconnect you from life support. That's wrong to put that responsibility in their hands, because they're caught up in the trauma of having to let go of you. So if you have previously made these decisions, it makes it so much easier. Death is going to happen. Please make it easier on your family to move through their grief and their loss by preparing for this.
And you know, that's an absolute truth, because my mother passed away about 10 years ago, and she had that. That was part of her living will, was that she didn't want to be on life support, and she wasn't. When she passed away, she wasn't, and so that decision didn't have to be made by her husband or by any of us children or anything. And, you know, we that statement was already made way prior to, you know, the actual incident, because she wasn't sick or ill. She just, mm-hmm. That's just something they did when they were doing their estate planning and all of that.
Yes, it has to be made ahead of time.
And then I have a grandmother that was kept alive for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was actually worse than letting her go, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely.
Because for 20 years she was in between worlds, is the way I put it. Mm-hmm. You know, she was still connected, yet she wasn't. So, you know, that can also be traumatic, because then people go to visit and there's just a body laying there.
You grieve the loss of that person for the entire time they're in that situation.
Yep.
It is very difficult for her being in between worlds there, and it's difficult for her family that love her so much, but so painful to see her in this condition. So if you prearrange, if you take care of planning for your life, it makes it so much easier. You have control over your death.
Well, I want to carry that thought just a little bit. There was a question that I meant to ask you in the first segment, and I didn't do. When we agree to come into this world, we agree to have different experiences and you know, different challenges, and we have different people that we're going to interact with. Do we also have, to some degree, a level of when we leave?
Oh, definitely.
And can we change our choice?
We started out, when you started out, you planned out your life. You planned out the time of your birth, or the approximate time of your birth, and the approximate time of your death. You also put in there windows of times that you can leave if life is just too difficult. Say you take on cancer and your body just cannot endure the battle and you need to leave. Why hold your body here and, you know, in torturous suffering? You need to leave. This is a blessing God has given us to go leave through this window. Now, sometimes we come up on the time of approximate time of our death, and we have not completed something that we chose to complete. We may even be in the hospital and in the dying process, but we have not finished it. So we haven't finished our purpose. So we will be given an extension of time. I often see this because I work with a lot of people in the end-of-life care. And they're given, you know, whether it's months, days, months, weeks, time to finish up with their family or their loved ones some purpose that they had committed to.
Well, and I always felt that as I look at people that I've actually been able to see that. It's like, okay, well, you know, you had it set that this was when you were going to leave, but you also have the option. That's what the free will choice is about being born into this earth, is that we decide, no, actually, I'm going to stick around for a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so today's not the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad to hear you say that, as far as, you know, that, because that's something that I've always seen. Just because we think we're at death's door, we still have the option of whether we choose to or not at that point.
Exactly. And, you know, God, as I said before, God created us, but he gave us the ability to co-create. And that's very empowering, to know that you have the ability to co-create with God.
And we truly do. And I think if people really had a really good understanding of that, this whole process would make them much more comfortable. And it's also about living life. We don't want to obsess with dying. What we want to do is also, we want to be involved with our lives and prepare, as you said, for death, but don't obsess over it. You know, a lot of people get freaked out and they have to let go of that fear because it's inevitable. What do they say, death and taxes?
Yes.
It's an unfortunate product, I guess, of the existence that we have here. But I guess we also need to let people know not to be afraid of it, because it truly is a beautiful place on the other side of the veil.
Oh, yes. It is beautiful on the other side. I actually had a near-death experience where I got to experience the love and the bliss of the energy there. Unfortunately, they sent me back.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me stay. Even though I begged, they wouldn't let me stay. And so my own experience, plus all the messages that I received from spirits that come across to communicate with their loved ones, all it's talked about is the love and the beauty and the feeling of joy and bliss there. It is a very, very amazingly beautiful place that God has created for us.
Absolutely. Linda, before we run out of time, though, let people know where they can get this marvelous book. Give them the address of your website, because we want to make sure that they can find this, because this is absolutely fabulous stuff.
Okay. You can go to my website, lindadrakebooks.com, and you can actually receive an autographed copy from me through the website. It is $12.95. Or you can go to your favorite bookstore, and if they don't have it on the shelf, they can order it for you.
And so that means any of the Borders or
Borders, Barnes and Nobles, any of those,
right.
Amazon.com.
Right. And I suggest this book. It's really you've really put this together very well to let people know, kind of take the mystery out of that, and also to take the fear out of it. I think that's the most important thing, Linda, is to take the fear out of it. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being here today, Linda. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
All right. You guys hang on, and we'll be right back. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal. Angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now 1-800-728-2730 or visit the website at www.fatemag.com. Again, the number is 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Your Never-Ending Life, book one in the series, Universal Learning. It introduces the revolutionary philosophical theory of universal learning. The book is written in an easy-to-read and broad-minded fashion. Your Never-Ending Life explores subjects such as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. It takes you on the journey to the discovery of you, the never-ending eternal spirit. You will develop an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and learning the ways of God the Creator. To learn more or to get your copy, visit www.universallearningseries.com. That's www.universallearningseries.com.
Own the DVDs that Hollywood producers don't want you to see. ISPR investigates The Comedy Store and ISPR investigates Crest Hill Mansion, both featuring well-known psychics Derek Acora, Peter James, and Linda McKenzie, showcasing their psi abilities interacting with earthbound entities in full, raw, and uncensored ISPR investigative footage from 1999. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com and makes the perfect gift for yourself or the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.JourneysWithRebecca.com.
All right, welcome back to Journeys, and we are here with our resident astrologer, as promised, Nancy Ogren. Hello, dear. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad on this wonderful day in December here.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting close to the holidays, so before the end of this segment here, we're going to talk to people about your new book that you have out that's available, The Moonways Path.
Exactly.
Fabulous, by the way. The cover on it is just exciting. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
But we are here today to talk about the new moon for December.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about that Sagittarius new moon. And after the last, couple of months, we had five planets in Scorpio in November, which meant releasing the past and stepping up. And we had five planets there, and those five planets, most were fast-moving planets. moved into Sagittarius, which is fire and getting going and moving forward. And I think it hinges a little bit on how much we let go of that past. But I think we're finishing up that, and we really are going forward. We really are. We've got, and we had Jupiter move after a year of being in Scorpio. Jupiter just stepped into Sagittarius, so that's very helpful. We're back to thinking, okay, I can expand and become and be and all of those exciting things, I think, with all of this fire going for us. So we have, for that new moon, we have, of course, the sun and moon, always together in a new moon. We have Pluto there. We have Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter. So, come on! Let's go! Let's get going.
So, okay, so all of these planets that were in Scorpio are now, all of them are in Sagittarius.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. The last, everybody is. Everybody is now. Venus has moved on through Sagittarius and is in Capricorn, and it was also in Scorpio. But we really have six planets for that new moon on December 20th, and that is our commitment to what's new. And, of course, that Sagittarius is symbolized by the archer, and so this is my favorite thing because I really do shoot my arrows up in the air. In December, I send out as many arrows as I can send out, carrying everything that I want to come true and have happen and be possible. And I say the quiver of my arrows is so big I have to hire a cart to carry it.
Now that sounds like a lofty thing to do there.
Yeah,
that's
it
pretty
is.
Big. That's pretty expansive. That's great.
Yeah, and I always feel like this is a good time of year to see things moving forward. Like I said, you know, if you didn't quite achieve what you hoped to at Thanksgiving dinner, there's always Christmas dinner to put your best foot forward.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, all right, but let's talk a little bit about that. Sagittarius is a fire sign.
Yes, it is.
Okay. You know, isn't that funny? I somehow forgot that. I don't know why I forgot that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we see we haven't had fire since late July into August when we had Leo, and so we really needed this. We really needed this. We needed to feel like we could catch fire with our ideas and with our opportunities and really step forward and say, okay, I'm ready for that next step. I'm open to that next step. And when we had the new moon in Gemini back the 4th, 5th, that started this too, because Gemini has all the ideas. Gemini is air and the twins, the Gemini twins, and plenty of things to think about. And really come forward and say, let me tell you what my idea is. And then the more you talk about that idea, the more it comes with the new moon into fruition. So we really are on fire.
And, you know, I have to tell you, that full moon was absolutely astounding. It was almost as if you could reach out and touch
it. Yes, it was. It truly was. And that's another reason this is one of my favorite times of year, because of that Gemini full moon with the sun in Sagittarius. I'm certainly a realist. It's not that I don't know how hard everything is. But my feeling is the more we're self-talking and self-promoting our own potential, the more we're agreeing to that logjam opening up and that we go forward.
Well, and, you know, this is a very interesting time, too, and I think that people need to recognize it. We're at the end of the calendar year of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're facing the, you know, New Year time.
Yes.
So how appropriate for us to take those, as you said, those arrows and shoot them up into the sky.
Yep.
With every one of those things as being what we want to bring forth into this reality.
Exactly.
So that's just really powerful. So, because this is the time of the year when people think about, okay, here's been my last year. Now, what have I done with it? And what do I want to do for the next year? And if you haven't, this is really a good time to start.
That is certainly true. It's never, never, never too late to start.
You know, here's how I say it, and it may be kind of crude, but I say it's never too late until you're dead and in the ground, then it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares anyway.
Yeah, that's right, because you're gone.
Because you're gone and you're done with this effort.
That's right. And, you know, I think what we're, you know, this year, too, just to let people know, is that Nancy and I have done two shows, or are going to be doing two shows. One of them is for the 2006 in review, which mm-hmm. means what has happened all through 2006. And then at the beginning of the year, we are doing another show that is 2007 overview. So this is going to really help everyone out there when they're getting ready to plan for things, how they want to utilize the energies, how they want their thought processes to go, and what their actions that they need to take mm-hmm. to utilize the energies that are naturally inherent here on the Earth.
Exactly.
So I'm just really excited about it. I think it's really fun. And before we run out of time, let's talk about your new book, your the one that you do every year for people for next year.
Exactly. That's the Moonways Guide, and it is a calendar journal. So every full moon and new moon, I give you the qualities of that sign what the symbols are of that sign, and then there's a space for 10 intentions on a new moon and 10 affirmations on a full moon to help you get focused and really honestly create what it is you want to have happen. And people feel like it really helps them. And if you just write down, you have space for 10 intentions. If you at least write down 3 or 4, you're on the way. And then on a full moon, 3 or 4 affirmations, and you're letting yourself know you're agreeing to this. I'm agreeing to all of this being possible.
Well, and it's bringing it into the consciousness.
Exactly.
It is a thought process that takes an action, and so when you finally put that down on paper, it brings that into the consciousness and the awareness, and then that's how people start getting into different habits and different ways.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. And exactly. It's very powerful stuff, because I use mine. Mine sits by my desk all the time, and I flip through it going, oh, not a good day to do that.
Yeah. Yes, it does also.
Or a great day to do this,
exactly.
You know, whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And it does make you kind of look a little bit ahead. So
it does.
That's a good thing, too.
It does.
I think we in the West do not often think that far ahead, and it would really help if we did.
Absolutely. All right, so let's give them your email address so that they can get a hold of you to get
yes.
that book, and
yes.
also, you know, just
my website.
Your website, and as a quick reminder, anybody that's got a question for Nancy and I to answer, please mailbag at journeyswithrebecca.com. We'd be happy to answer them.
Absolutely. And my website is www.nancymillerogren.com. And I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. You guys can click on that link right on my front page. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Paul Newman. Every day, thousands of sick and disabled veterans face real emergencies that government programs just can't meet. For more than 80 years, the Disabled American Veterans has been there for them. Across the country, DAV volunteers are working to build better lives for sick and disabled veterans who need assistance. Sometimes they just need a friend. But more volunteers are needed. If you want to help, contact the Disabled American Veterans. Thank you.
What a wonderful show. I do hope you enjoyed it. A reminder to check out my website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. And please email me. Tell me what you thought of today's show. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. A special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine since 1948. Fate is the longest running publication of its kind. You can find out more at fatemag.com. Also, Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. To find out more about him, go to UniversalLearningSeries.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Blessings to each and every one of you. And goodbye for now.